Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 5, ending in verse 15, where we see that we can't as Christians have known willful sin in our lives and expect the Spirit to fill us afresh. We have to deal with our sin with our gracious and loving Father in order to be used of God and be filled with the Spirit. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5.
Lord, that you haven't seen it in days. I'm like, yeah, you're right. That's why you're God, you know? But we're going to be outside. You got little kids. You're going to be playing. The neighbors are going to be out. People are going to be walking. My neighborhood, weather like this, people are everywhere. Is it happening? Last night, I'm watching the games again. I'm hanging out with my little kids at home, my little two. And I see out my front window, all of a sudden, like around, I don't know what time, maybe 6, 7 o'clock, it started getting nice out. You know what I'm talking? It started getting nice. Yeah, time you go to bed. Yeah. I'll be there soon. I'm not. I'll be there soon. I go to bed at 9. I don't want to act like a hotshot. I'm nobody. I'm as lame gets. But anyways, you know, I'm looking out the window at some people's bedtimes, not ours, but other people's. You know, and I'm sad. People are walking their dogs. People are outside. People get a bounce in their steps at this time of year. People are going to be everywhere soon, right? Everyone comes out of the world. Where were you? Where have you been all winter long? Hiding and hibernating, right? Everyone's going to start coming out. There's going to be so many opportunities, and we got to go now. There's got to begin to be a urgency in us for the lost. We can't be a people that are just like, we're saved, we're good, we're going to heaven when we die. That's it. We should not be hoarders of our salvation. We should not be selfish with our salvation. I used this illustration years ago. I don't think I've used it since. But something that I think of in my mind that puts it in me to preach each week and when I'm out in that world is this. When you get to heaven, when you die, when you're going to stand before Jesus, whether you're saved or not saved, I picture it like this. There are two escalators. There's one that is going up, and that's all the children of God getting ready to stand before the Lord and hear those glorious words, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant, to the joy of the Lord." It's yours. That's yours. And then I picture an escalator that's going down. The escalator that's going up and the escalator that's going down are side by side. And the escalator going down is filled with people that we all know and love that never accepted Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And they just stood before the throne too, but they didn't hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in." They heard, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." And then what makes me shriek, it makes me want to jump out of my skin is the thought of those people going down that I know that have been in my circle that I never told, saying to me as they go down and I go up, "Why didn't you ever say anything? You knew? Why didn't you ever tell me? You didn't even ask me to come to your church." You see what I'm saying? I think of it like that and it messes me up. So if someone's going to categorize me as a Jesus freak, if somebody's going to write me off, if somebody's involved in a cult, if somebody's going to say that dude drank the Kool-Aid, fine. At least I told them and their blood is not on my hands. Because I can't bear the thought of someone's eternal soul being on my shoulders. So I think that we should be a people that have an urgency within us. We should be a people that do not lose focus of what the gospel says. It's good news because there's bad news. And the bad news is without Jesus Christ being your personal Lord and Savior, you will be eternally damned. That's what the Bible says. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you accept and you profess the Son of God as your Savior King, you can have eternal life. There's got to be that within us, and we've got to get it out there. Because that's the reality of the gospel. It's not outdated. It has not expired. It's not to be improvised. It's not to be renewed. It is what it is, and it will never change. So I think we should purpose in our hearts, "Lord, let's start this thing this week." When I'm at Wegmans, Lord, when I'm at the gym in the morning, when I'm getting the mail tomorrow afternoon, as I begin to do yard work and the neighbors are doing yard work, as I sit next to that person in my class, as I open my locker next to that person who I've been opening my locker next to for months and I've never even spoken your name, Lord, may I speak your name this week. May I start simple, Lord, and just invite them to Easter service. It's appropriate to do it this time of year. Thirdly, this morning, if you are taking notes and your heart is being stirred, I would suggest this to you. Go right. Go with the right spirit. Jesus said this. He said, I want you to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's his description of these people. They're lost, they're not forsaken. As we go out into that world, we're not going to a people that have been forsaken by God. Oh, God has forsaken this country. Is it God forsaken? No. The church is here. We're the light and the salt. We're the hope of the world in Jesus' name. These people are not forsaken. They are loved by God. That's who Jesus died for. They're a loved people, not a forsaken people. They're just lost. They don't know. So as we go out there, that should be our approach. We shouldn't look at people and size them up by their outward appearance. We shouldn't look at people by, you know, the status that they hold in the community or the lack thereof. It should simply be this. You're a soul, and Jesus values your soul. Jesus died for your soul. Jesus loves your soul. And because Jesus is in me, so do I. You're lost. I'm not going to beat on you for the sin that you're in. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to throw stones at you. I'm not going to act holier than thou with you. You don't know better. You're lost. Last night, I'm watching Harper, my two-year-old. I can't hear her for a few minutes. So I'm thinking, oh, this can't be good. Because earlier in the day, Sherry took blue nail polish and poured it all over my son's tan carpet. It was because she went quiet for a few minutes. And nobody went looking for her. Because who even knows where she is when you have four kids? You can't keep up with anything. You can't take a shower. You can't clip your nails. You can't do anything. So she's quiet. I got her and Charlie. And I'm thinking to myself, I better go check on her. Because if I don't go check on her, her mother comes home, who we're all afraid of. All 110 pounds of her. So I get up and I go looking for her. She's got her baby in the playroom. I said, Harper, what are you doing with the baby? She's got the mark in her other hand. I start to glaze down at her feet. I see it's not her baby, by the way. It's her big sister's baby. And I scan Harper's feet, marker all over Harper's feet. And then I continue with my eye gaze following the trail, and I look at the baby. The baby's covered in red marker. Can't see baby's anything. Whole face red, just all red baby. I didn't get mad at her. I didn't give her a tongue lashing and tell her how ridiculous of a two-year-old she is. In fact, I thought, no wonder why they say you shouldn't act like a two-year-old. She's doing what a two-year-old should do. She's covering her sister's baby. That's what you do. You do crazy things when you're two. And you shouldn't get mad at a kid that does things when they're two. You can say to them, hey, if you do it again, you're going to be in trouble. You can instruct them from there. But you can't expect them to know what they're doing at two. That's why they're two. The church has gone wrong in expecting the world to not be like the world. Coming down on sinners for sinning. Sinners are supposed to sin. That's what they do. And then Jesus steps into their lives like he stepped into our lives, and he begins to transform us and change us from the inside out. He gives us new desires. He doesn't get fed up with us. He doesn't get exasperated with us. He doesn't get annoyed by us. He loves us. He accepts us as we are, reeking like smoke, coming down off a high from drugs, getting saved drunk still, man. I mean, he does that. He takes us as we are, and then he begins to transform us. So why do we then do opposite of what Jesus has done with us? We shouldn't, and that's where we've gone wrong. That's where we put a bad taste of Jesus in the world's mouth. The message to the world is simply this: Jesus loves you with no condition and with no reason that you have supplied. Jesus loves you because Jesus loves you. Jesus accepts you in himself, seeing you washed by his blood, forgiven, complete, and whole. That's how Jesus sees you if you accept him as your Savior King. There's no conditions. There's no go take a shower first. There's no get out of that adultery first. There's no stop robbing banks first. There's no quit porn first. You understand? There's no you got to get your drinking under control first. It's come just as you are now, and he will accept you. That's it. They're lost. They're not forsaken. You might want to write that in your Bible. They're lost. They're not forsaken. Jesus loves them. Go with the right spirit. Go with the right spirit. Go with the humble spirit. Go with the spirit that Jesus came in, lowliness and meekness. These are lost sheep. It broke the heart. I can't get past those words. That's how Jesus viewed them. Go read the end of chapter 9. His bowels were twisted. His stomach hurt. He was in pain. I don't think it's far-fetched to say that he had tears in his eyes. He was so bothered by it that he stood up all night in prayer. When was the last time you were so bothered and bogged down by something that you prayed all night for it? I can't recall the last time I did that. He was up all night, Luke chapter 6 tells us, praying to his father because he was so grieved, not by the sin, but by the lostness. Please, Lord, break our hearts. This could so quickly, with masses like this, turn into, this can so quickly turn into just some clubhouse that we gather together in and clap our hands and laugh at jokes and celebrate our salvation, drink our coffee and hang out. It could be so quickly what it's not supposed to be. This is our base. Don't get me wrong. This is our home front. This is our refuge from the short storm. This is where we get our instructions and our learning of Jesus so that we can be more like him and we can be faithful to him. But we're not to just keep it here and stay here. We're to take what we've got here and we're to give it out there. People are dying helpless and hopeless and they're going to hell and the church is acting like nothing's going on. We just want to make sure that our sermons are funny, that the sermons are short, that there's good illustrations, that there's good jokes, that we don't step on people's toes and talk about sin too much, that everybody feels comfortable. And then, you know, move on about our day. Have skate parks, have gymnasiums. I mean, we're no different than Midtown Athletic Center if that's all that we are. Except there's no membership fee. Not signed up for that. It's fine to have the amenities. It's fine to have the luxuries. It's fine to have the creature comforts. But Jesus and the good news of the gospel that cost him his blood is what this church is built on and what this church will go onward on. Jesus Christ and what he has done. And that leads me to my fourth point. We go with a message. We go with a message. We don't get sent by our commander, the captain of our salvation, with nothing to say. I mean, we don't take these points this morning of go where you are, go right now, go with the right spirit to just go. We don't just go and then show up and then not have anything to say or to do. We go with the message. Jesus said to these guys of old, he said, go and preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's being extended to you. Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom, he's here. We go with the message. We go with the message of Jesus. We go with the message of Jesus. And there's no backing out of this one. Like, aha, I can't go. I don't know the message. Yes, you do. If you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to this world and he died on a tree, and you know that 3 days later he rose again valiantly and victoriously, then you know the message. Paul said, I did not come to you cunningly. I did not come to you with all these things that I could come to you with. I came to you with this, the simplicity and the basis of Christ crucified and him risen again. If you know that, you know enough. Listen, you can literally go to somebody and say this, hey, I just want to tell you Jesus loves you. Because maybe you feel like I can't even say the whole 3-day thing, you know, and him rising again. I get so nervous. My tongue starts getting twisted. I say, ah, and ah, and ah, and hey, and I just get so lost. Fine. Jesus loves you. Maybe it's been so long since that person heard that anybody loves them, let alone that Jesus loves them. We can go. We can open our mouths and he'll fill our mouths. We go with a message. We go with a message of a Savior who can do the impossible for people. It's not just saving and redeeming us from our sins. He could heal you. He could restore your marriage. He can help your child with that problem that your child is engaged in. Jesus can do anything for you. Look what he's done for me. You've got a message if you know Jesus. You've got a story to tell. You got a story to tell. Maybe you're thinking, well, I never went to jail. I never really did anything. I've always been sort of an upright person. Fine, you can go on that. He saved a moralist like you, which is even a bigger miracle than saving somebody in jail. Moralists, people that do everything right all the time, are the hardest people to win to Christ. They think they're perfect. If he can get a hold of their heart, he can get a hold of anybody's heart. You go with your story. You go with your Jesus. You go with what you know. You don't need to know every book of the Bible. You don't need to know about end times. You don't need to know about any of that. You just go with your message. And if you say, I can't even do that. If I say Jesus at work, I'll get in trouble. Fine. Then go with them and say this. You got to come to church with me next Sunday. And then I'll tell them about Jesus. Okay? You get them here and I'll tell them about Jesus. You just get them here. Or to the school in 2 weeks. Well, tell them about Jesus. You got a glorious message. News is full of terrible things all the time. You've got a glorious message to give out. And then I want to give you this one. This is really important. Know when to go away. Okay? That's an important one. Jesus said this. You guys are going to go out. You go to your neighborhoods. You're going to go to your village. You're going to go to your community. You're going to go to your workplaces. You're going to go to your school. You're going to go to your gym. You're going to go to Wegmans. You're going to go out. And when people don't accept you, people don't receive you, Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet. In that culture, that's what they would do. When they go to Lebanon, they go to other places that were pagan, idolatrous. They come home, they shake the dust off their feet because they didn't want that pagan dust in their homes. That was for them. That's not for us. We don't shake the dust off our feet at people. But we could take it in a practical, applicable sense. And we could say this. When a person makes it clear they don't want to hear it, when they get irate and they tell you, don't invite me to your church ever again, don't talk to me about your Jesus ever again, we need to know that it's time for us to walk away. Listen, we're talking about go, 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 go. Know when to go away. Know this too. You can say more by saying less so many times. Just walk away and live as an example and pray for that person until the Lord opens a door for them to come to you and ask you more about your Jesus later on in life. And they will if you stay faithful as an example to them. Because they'll go through something like what we prayed for this morning, a death, a sickness, a divorce, something that will shake them. And then they'll probably come back to you in private and say, hey, I know I told you to leave me alone. I know I told you I'll kill you if you ever talk to Jesus to me again. But hey, can you pray for me? I've seen it happen so many of times. Know when to go away. Don't always have to get the last word in. Don't beat them down with the Bible. Don't be harsh. Don't be haughty. Don't be rude. That's the biggest turnoff to Jesus. Isn't it? People beat you down, man, and they don't stop. They don't relent. And you're telling them, I don't want to hear it anymore. I mean, it's so obnoxious. Don't be an obnoxious Christian. Be a humble Christian. Be like Jesus. Be lowly. Know when to go away. And then last and finally this morning, go with the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, Jesus sends the apostles out with power from on high. Exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. It's a specific word for them. But he gives us power too in Acts 1:8. Dunamis. It speaks of power. It speaks of ability. It speaks of strengthening from on high that is beyond us to go out into that world and proclaim the good news as the Spirit leads us. We dare not go apart from the anointing of God's Spirit. We should not go and try to speak about Jesus without asking the Holy Spirit to fill us up. Even if it's an unexpected conversation, you're at the gas station, someone sees your bumper sticker, or they see your Bible and they bring something up to you. The minute they bring it up, say, Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. We should not do anything apart from his Spirit because we will fumble, we will stumble, we'll blow it and we'll mess up. But there's some conditions there, and this is where we close. This is how we transition ourselves to come to the Lord's table. He's the Holy Spirit. So we can modernize this place, right? We can get new decorations. We can do renovations. We can paint. We can do all of that. And we can have that going on. But something that never changes is the holiness of God. Something that never changes are the fundamental truths of the gospel. Something that never changes are the words from Scripture that we will never, by the grace of God, stray from. He's the Holy Spirit. So that then means that there can't be present sin in our lives that we know about and that we're not going to do anything about and expect him to fill us afresh. Do you understand what I'm saying? Please, don't check out. I need you for literally just less than 5 minutes. You've got to hear this closing point. I'm telling you, you got to go with the Holy Spirit, but I'm telling you, you can't go with the Holy Spirit if you're not being holy as the Lord your God is holy. That dunamis, that empowering from on high to go be a witness of the Lord can't happen when you're living in specific sin. You can't be having sex outside of marriage, watching porn, getting drunk, abusing drugs. You can't be a person that is practicing sin and expecting the Spirit of God to fill you up. He's the Holy Spirit of God. In him is no darkness at all. So it's like this. You're a hose. There's a kink in the hose. There's a knot. The water can't flow. The Spirit of God can't flow when you are in sin. The minute, though, that you confess your sin, the minute that you own your sin, confess is homologeo. It's to say the same thing that God says of your sin. It's not to say, God, I've been in this sin. I've been having sex with her. I've been drinking too much. I've been doing this or that. I'll never do it again. That's not confession. That's stupid. Confession is this, homologeo. Lord, I say the same thing that you say about this. And I don't want to do what I've been doing against you. I want you to change me. Lord, would you change me? You understand? And as we do that, and as we plead the blood of Jesus over us, the kink gets undone and the water begins to flow again. But the Spirit of God can't fall the way that he wants to until we do that. As unpopular as that might make me, as uncomfortable as that might make you, it's the truth for all of us. There can't be known sin in our lives, and then we expect to be used by the Lord just like there isn't. Now, I'll say this as Daniel and the worship team comes. You guys can come. That doesn't mean that there can't be any sin in your life or else we're all disqualified. But there's a difference of sin, of transgressions and iniquity, isn't there? There's a difference between sinning because you're a sinner and there are just errant things within you. That's why you need a Savior. We all unintentionally, without purpose, say things, do things, think things, go places, be involved in things that we shouldn't be. That's just part of needing Jesus. Grace, products of grace. But there's a difference between that and the line is drawn and you know about that line. And you say, I'm still going to walk over anyways and do what I want to do. There's a very big difference between those two things. That's where you get yourself into trouble and that's where you grieve the Spirit of God. So don't get ripped off this morning thinking, well, I'm not perfect, so I guess I'm out. No, that's not what I said. Just don't be practicing sin. When something enters in your life, man, short accounts, Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. I just thought this about that person. Lord, I just want to knock him out. Lord, I just undressed her in my mind. Lord, I did this. Lord, forgive me. Just constant state of confession. Keeping short accounts, keeping it clean with the Lord. Amen? And then you can say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit so I could be used by you for your glory.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.